seems like a step in the right direction, maybe?
Yeah, I guess a little more positive, maybe. We'll see.
It's weird to hear you sound positive, so, yeah.
I know, isn't it? It's fake.
The Ant Monkey Dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing just splendid. How are you?
Oh, not bad. How's things in good old Florida?
Hot.
Hot?
Yes, it's Africa hot already.
Summer's here and it's only the 6th of April.
Yes.
But
it ain't snowing. All that matters.
Is it snowing anywhere?
I don't care. Not snowing here. That's all I care about.
Yeah. So our video went up this week.
It did.
I managed to get it up on Friday. It took forever to export, but you know, whatever.
Really?
Don't know why. Yeah. We were a little the parts with us in it sitting on your couch were a bit grainy, so I fixed the grain, and I think that's probably what was causing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it was dark.
Well, yeah, it was a little dark, and the camera was set up on auto, because I'm lazy.
And
it probably had the ISO way too high, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little grainy, but it looked pretty good. We got some good response. People think it's funny. So, if anybody hasn't seen it, it's up on Facebook. It's up on our website, dancemonkeypodcast.com. It's up on YouTube. If you search, I think it's MegaCon 2014 Dance Monkey Dance, I think it comes up. What are you doing over there?
Some bug.
I just see you swat in the air.
Yes.
So yeah, you should go. You go check it out. Leave some feedback.
We are very funny. I'm very funny. Just be prepared for that. Okay. Wear your depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pee yourself.
And you have to wait until the very end because there are some outtakes of us trying to get through the opening.
Yes.
Before Walking Dead came on. But it got some good response, so everybody needs to go check it out. And everybody needs to go to Mike Lusk, his Facebook page, and like his work because...
Correct.
We done screwed up and he didn't get a chance to say what he wanted to say, so check him out. And we'll try to have him on the podcast at some point.
Yes.
So he can pitch his art.
Yes. And yesterday was International Tabletop Gaming Day.
It was.
So I hope you all went over to Entire Prize Enterprises and bought a copy of Steam Spy.
Yeah.
Or maybe Acting for Animators.
Or any of the Zordic or Saucer Seekers or Abby's Agency stuff.
What? Listen to that. Wow. Pitch.
I know, and we're not even being paid for it.
I know. Oh, well.
Should we just send Mark a bill?
Oh, we should for advertising. What's our time worth?
Have him go, what the fuck is this for?
Right.
Oh, well, we talked about you for a couple minutes on the podcast, and now we're trying to make some money off of it.
Right. So here's your bill for that.
Hey, I did those TV commercials for him for free. Now he owes me.
There you go.
So there you go. Went to see Captain America 2 on Thursday.
Yes, and what's the verdict?
I liked it. It ties almost every single Marvel movie together.
That's what I've heard.
There's a common thread through it that you're all of a sudden when you hear it, you're like, holy shit, that all makes sense now. Had really good action, some incredible CG. There's a reason it made almost $100 million in its first weekend.
Right.
I highly recommend it if you are a Marvel fan. And Captain America was one of those, I guess it was the one movie for the phase one that I was least looking forward to, because I think Captain America is kind of boring.
Yeah.
And this movie makes him, Black Widow, Falcon, almost like it seems more human than they have been before. Like they can be hurt, and you see them struggling with things, and it's not just superheroes punching their way through stuff. There's actual like depth to them in this one. So I liked it a lot. And I know you don't see anything until it comes out on video, so
if then.
How many of the Marvel movies have you seen? Did you see Iron Man?
I saw Avengers. I think that may be it. I have all the rest of them on DVD or Blu-ray, but, you know.
You never saw Thor?
I have not seen Thor yet, or Thor the Dark World.
Oh.
Or Iron Man 1, 2, or 17.
First Captain America? No?
No, no. So you're saying I have a lot of watching to do before I bother watching Captain America 2?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could watch one a week until it comes out on, you know, Blu-ray.
Okay.
And then you could catch up.
I'll add that to my schedule.
Okay. So yesterday...
Yes?
We took the kid to an outdoor screening of a new Disney film, some Tinkerbell pirate fairy something or
yes.
other.
Yes.
It's got Tom Hiddleston in it.
There's a heartfelt pitch for it.
Well, I spent the hour and a half sitting on the ground because I guess they forgot to mention that there were no seats at the outdoor venue.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we didn't bother to bring any like lawn chairs or anything like that.
What kind of ghetto event is it that they don't have seating?
It was at this place called Blackbeard's Cove, which is like mini golf and go-karts.
And there wasn't like a snack bar area with a couple of, you know, tables with umbrellas or something?
There was inside. Nowhere near where the movie was taking place.
Were you just like squatting outside the business? Is that what it was?
Kind of.
Oh,
it was like an empty field to the left as you walk in. And they had set up this gigantic inflatable screen. And had a projector and speaker set up, and it dawned on me probably. So the whole thing was we got there early because we were putting the kid in a fairy princess fashion show thing.
Uh huh.
She really wanted to do it, so we were like, "Well, all right." Dressed her up. They march them up there. They talk about what their favorite thing in the world is. And they had the girls do a little spin and then come off. So it was all these parents with cameras jockeying for position to try to get pictures of their kid.
Of course.
And I was one of those people.
Elbowing your way to the front of the line.
But that was the one thing I wasn't doing, though. Like, wow. I was being very respectful of everybody. So they do that. The kid wins, I think it was like third place. She won like cutest fairy or something, whatever. And we go to sit down, and I suddenly realize that I'm in the middle of Mount Pleasant, which is a bunch of wealthy white people.
Okay, well, that's good.
Who are extremely entitled.
Oh.
And we were sitting on a patch of ground that was no bigger than a beach towel, because that was the only thing that we had in the back of the car to sit on.
Okay.
There were people who were like kicking us in the back because they were trying to get as much room as they could on their giant fucking blanket. There was this woman with a fake Louis Vuitton bag who decided to set her chair right in front of my wife. Like, she's sitting on the ground. So instead of looking and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm blocking you," she just dumps her fucking seat in front of her and sits down and starts to drink fucking alcohol at a kid's event. And I was
awesome.
Like, oh, man, just fucking hundreds of entitled assholes. And then us.
And then you.
Who?
The unentitled.
The unentitled, the you know, we're not assholes. Trying to look out, make sure that all the kids can see that are around us. And We were the only ones. So fucking next time, we're taking giant chairs that people can't see over.
You should take bar stools and sit right up front next to the stage.
Well, one of the things that I had an issue with was it's outdoors. They have the projector at the back of the field or whatever.
And this was during the daytime?
No, this was at night. It's like 7 o'clock at night. Just as it got dark. Just enough to where you could see the screen. And they would let people walk in front of the projector, like that were going to the refreshment stand or whatever inside.
Okay.
So you'd be watching the movie and all of a sudden there'd be a big shadow go across the screen. And like... you'd hear somebody go, sit down, and that person stop and kind of turn and look around to see what's being said. Like, in shadow on the screen going, oh, and then, like, ducking down and stuff. So, I mean, it was really, it was a nice thing for them to do to play this movie outdoors or whatever, but they had no clue what they were doing.
Right.
It was just a fucking mess. It was terrible.
Oh. I bet your daughter loved it.
She did. My ass was numb.
Well, that's all that matters.
I couldn't really walk at the end. It took us about 10 minutes to walk over to the car because my legs were numb.
Wow.
Because it's like an hour and a half sitting on the ground, on hard ground. Like Indian style, because you can't put your legs out because there's somebody like 2 inches off your fucking blanket.
Right.
Oh, it was terrible. It sucked.
Oh, well. Well, you just tell the kid no more.
That's it?
That's it. Kid, we're done. Next time you want to do something, then, you know, just wait till you can drive.
Okay. Because I'm sure that'll go over well with the wife.
Well, you know, as always.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it was an okay movie if you're into fairy movies.
Well, okay.
It's typical Tinkerbell. I'm sure you haven't seen the other ones, but I have since I have a daughter.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything by not having seen it?
No, but I feel like Disney's seriously trying to retcon the Peter Pan storyline.
What do you mean?
Well, because this was a story about how Captain Hook first takes control of the Jolly Roger, I guess.
Right.
But it has to do with fairies and blue fairy dust and flying ships and them wanting to take over the world instead of Neverland. And all the Tinkerbell movies take place way before the first Peter Pan ever takes place.
Okay.
And I feel like they're trying to retcon shit to the point where they can redo Peter Pan as a 3D big feature thing.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And tying this all together.
Oh.
You know, in all these things, Tinkerbell never goes out alone. She's always got like the 6 other fairies with her.
Right.
So that they can sell all the toys. And.
Well, of course.
They added the new one. And hey, Tom Hiddleston's kind of hot right now. So we'll get him to do Captain Hook.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll get him for cheap because we'll convince him this is something his kids can watch and,
yeah,
you know, be part of his legacy being in a Disney movie because everybody wants to do that.
Yeah, because he wasn't the bad guy in the biggest Disney Marvel movie ever.
Well, that's why you want him to be in a family-friendly Disney movie that 2-year-olds can be taken to.
Yeah. But it is kind of weird because Disney doesn't do... like theater releases for any of this stuff.
Well, because there's more money in the DVD, so it's yeah.
But you don't think they'd want to do like a couple weeks in the theater to try to get?
No, because I think their target market is so young.
Yeah.
That they want to make it easy for you to swing by Walmart, pick it up while you're getting your groceries, and put it on the TV for 6, 7, 8 hours nonstop, and then you have to go buy the toys and the dresses and the sequel to the sequel.
Yeah.
It's quite nefarious. Quite nefarious.
Damn those people.
Yes. But speaking of Disney,
oh God.
There's big news this week.
Which is?
Well, they're going to remake one of my favorite movies. Can you guess what it is?
Remake or do a sequel to?
No, remake. Brand new.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, very close.
Was I?
Yes.
They already did Escape to Witch Mountain.
They did.
They wouldn't redo Mary Poppins.
No.
I was close with Bedknobs and Broomsticks. No idea.
Pete's Dragon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do we really need a Pete's Dragon? Who's calling out for a Pete's Dragon remake?
Well, it's being directed by David Lowery.
Okay.
Who just directed something called Ain't Them Bodies Saints. It's the tale of an outlaw who escapes from prison and sets out across the Texas hills to reunite with his wife and the daughter he has never met. It starred Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara.
Oh, well, then that's the perfect person.
So I think that's great to be... Oh, Keith Carradine was in it.
Okay, my memory of Peach Dragon is a little fuzzy. What was the story on that?
An orphan comes to town.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's pretty much. And he has... It's an orphan moves into a strange town and has an occasionally invisible dragon named Elliot as a companion.
Oh. Okay. That's weird.
Yes. But apparently this one won't be a musical, and that's kind of bumming me out because I think the music was the best part of it. You know, it had Helen Reddy. Come on.
Oh, there you go. Star.
There you go. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Have they announced the cast yet?
Oh, no, not. They're just announcing that the director's attached.
Oh. But isn't...
But it's very interesting. I mean, you know, could this be an evil dragon that burns people alive as opposed to slapstick comedy?
No. Don't make it family friendly. You know, if they want to do True and Gritty, and they'll do like Maleficent with Angelina Jolie, but this Peach Dragon sounds more like a kiddie.
Really? You don't think it's the story of a kid who wreaks havoc on a village by unleashing his invisible dragon?
Well, wasn't the dragon animated in the first one?
He was, yes.
Do you think they'll do that in this one? Or like?
Well, I'm sure it'll be CG.
But I think they should keep it with the animated look. You know, like a 2D animated looking dragon.
Yeah, I don't think today's audience would go for that.
Well, screw them, people. I mean, not that I think that we need a big budget live action Maleficent movie either.
Well, somebody did.
But, you know, whatever. And I guess they're making her out to not be so bad, like...
Well, this is before she became bad.
Like Aurora's father took her wings or something?
Yes, yes.
So she's a victim of circumstance?
Yes.
Instead of just being evil? Because now everything needs to be fucking justified in the fucking movie world?
Sure.
Oh... Why can't we just have whatever? Why do they have to always harp on everything?
Just because.
It pisses me off. Like, you don't have to add anything to that story. You don't have to do Cinderella 2, 3, 4, Sleeping Beauty 2, 3, whatever. Just let the fucking classic stand. But they're greedy, and they need money.
Well, I think everybody needs money. And if we had something to exploit, I think we'd be doing it too. Because I know I would.
Okay. If you say so.
But, yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting that she has big eagle wings and the other fairies have, like, butterfly wings. And
yeah.
So, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, she's got horns too, right?
Well, she's got a horned headdress. And it's very obvious that it's a headdress.
But there's shots of her without that on there where she looks like she's got, like, goat horns.
It does?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh. Let me find the picture.
Oh, I kind of see it. Yeah. Yes, you are correct.
Oh, see?
That's weird. That's fucked up.
See, that's why it was always like I thought in the Disney movie that it was just like a headpiece.
Yes.
But now they're tall, like, hey, now it's going to be that she has fucking goat horns.
Well, she's a horny bitch.
And it'll be, you know, I wonder if she's got like goat legs, like hooves.
Like hooves underneath her dress?
Yeah.
Wonder if you ever see underneath the dress. Maybe it's always just the dress is like floor length.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, here's a behind the scenes shot of her on some like, they have her like up on a blue like arm crane thing, and you can see her feet, and it's regular feet. What a waste.
What a waste. That's too bad.
Because if you're going to do the goddamn horns, then do the feet too. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
We'll have to see.
See, that's probably a movie you'd go to see.
Yeah, probably. Disney also has a new TV show that is coming out on the Disney Channel called The Descendants.
Okay.
And basically it's set in the present day where the teenage son of Belen Beast is about to take the throne, and he offers a chance of redemption to the children of Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, the Evil Queen, and Jafar, who have been imprisoned on a forbidden island with all the other villains. And these the children are named Carlos, Mal, Evie, and Jay. Jafar's son, hey, Jafar, this is my son Jay. And they are allowed into the kingdom to attend prep school with the children of the fairy godmother, Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, Mulan. However, the evil teens face a dilemma. Should they follow in their nefarious parents' footsteps or embrace their innate goodness and save the kingdom?
Well, if they want the show to go on, they're not going to embrace the goodness.
No, but you know, I just question who was in charge of this that allowed Cruella de Vil's son to be named Carlos de Vil. Maleficent's child is named Mal. Evil Queen's kid is named Evie, or Evie. It's like, you were just sitting around smoking joints, weren't you?
Oh my god, when is this abomination hit?
It's supposed to be sometime this fall.
Oh.
So I think they're trying to pull an Avengers kind of thing, where they bring all the characters back into one world.
Why?
Because it makes money.
It made money for Marvel. It's not going to make money for everybody else.
I don't know.
It's a formula that not everybody can crack.
Disney's magical. Of course, I don't know if they address the fact that most of the villains die in the movies.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting too. Because Maleficent gets killed, she gets stabbed, Evil right. Queen gets thrown off a cliff, yeah. Jafar gets turned into an evil genie, and I think Cruella just has PMS. But anyway, I mean, who have they hooked up with?
Apparently somebody. Like, who knows? Maybe you'll find out that they're all, like, Jafar's kids. Like, he's just banging all the female
villains.
By
Jasmine?
Yeah.
There you go. Interesting. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there'll be lots of toys that you can buy your child.
Well, then they've kind of... Disney has kind of done that before, though. I mean, if you go to the theme parks and you go to... what's the big water show at MGM? What the hell is that called?
Fantasmic.
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 Even though it's like Mickey's Dream or whatever...
Mm-hmm.
They do mix them all into that, so it's...
They
like...
do, and before that, there was House of the Mouse.
Yeah.
Where all the characters kind of came together at this nightclub and interacted with each other, and Hades would flirt with Maleficent and...
Right.
All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, they've bent those rules before. This will be no different.
It will.
Wasn't there, oh, God. Well, there was some cartoon on the Disney Channel that was like all these teenage princesses or something at a school. I can't remember the name of it.
Princess Sophia?
No, it's not Princess Sophia. It's another one of those, hey, this is a young Cinderella and a young Aurora.
Oh, see, I did not
remember
that.
And they're going
that.
To like a prep school, like... It was recently, too, because my kid was... The last time we were at Toys R Us was wanting to buy... Maybe it wasn't Disney. Maybe it was like some kind of like weird offshoot. Was it like... Princess High? No. Because I searched for Princess High and it's all about Lady Gaga for some reason.
Oh, well, that's something you want to expose your kids to.
Princess, yeah. Oh, is this it? No, that's just somebody with a weird fetish. All right, never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind. This is killing the show, so.
Chris will find it later, and he won't post it, so don't even bother. Because that's how things go.
Hey. Whatever.
So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
I was wondering if you had seen the new show. I hadn't heard about this until I happened to be passing something on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yes.
But are you watching the Jim Henson Creature Challenge?
Yes.
I was very entertained, and like the whatever that other show is that they do. What's the other one?
Face Off.
Never really captured my attention. But the fact that they are having them recreate the one that I saw. Things from the Dark Crystal, the Dark Crystal, that was very cool. And I was like, huh, this might be something I have to watch now.
Yes. It was very cool. The episode before that, they had to create a sea creature that had never been seen before.
Right.
And the girl who got voted off, Tina, who was like a schizophrenic bitch, and the other guy who, the bald guy with the bushy beard, were teamed up, and they did not get along, and she was just... see you next Tuesday. And the fact that she didn't get voted off that first episode had to have been the producers going, no, she's going to be good for controversy. Keep her going. And then the next one, they had her do, you saw it, she had her to do all the mechanics for the Skeksis.
Yeah.
And everything she did didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that they said, see ya.
And then she like cried.
And then she cried and broke down and
So how
many? Because there was a from the week before there was a thing where the guy was yelling at her about how you know he couldn't get a word in edgewise and she was just all over the place and wouldn't concentrate and blah 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 and she starts crying and she goes, I'm a big girl, you could have just talked to me, and he goes, oh, this is how you're a big girl sitting there and crying.
How many episodes have I missed? I mean, has this been on for a while?
I think this is only the second one.
Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I wish we had known about it before MegaCon, because then we could have gone and yelled at Gigi Edgley about it.
Yes, last year, yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure she'll be back, because what else has she got to do?
Well, I'm thinking maybe this is why she didn't come this year.
I thought she was there.
No.
Is she back out?
No, she wasn't there this year.
Oh.
She was there the year before.
No, she was there this year, and she was up
she
with
wasn't.
The... Are you sure?
Yes, pretty sure.
Really? No, I think she was there, because I remember commenting that she was with, like, the humans and not the, you know, the cast-off celebrities.
No, she wasn't there.
Are you sure?
Yes. Are you thinking of Eve Miles? Are you thinking of... One of the many women from The Walking Dead that were there?
No, I know the difference between them and Gigi Dead.
I'm telling you, she was not there this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally imagined it. Oh, well, I totally imagined it. There you go.
You're okay.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
I mean, it's very like I'm assuming it's the same production company that does Face Off, because it is like shot for shot. Hey, this works for on Face Off, so let's do it for this one too.
Sure.
I think the only difference is, and I don't know if they did it in the first episode, but they're like putting these things on film.
Yeah.
To see how they look on screen, which I think is more of an interesting take than we're going to come up and we're going to critique it at 2 feet away.
Well, and last summer, or maybe the summer before, they had another one of those game shows, reality shows called Hot Set, okay, where you had to build a set for a specific character they revealed during the first day. And then the culmination was that they shot a scene in video on it.
Okay.
To see how it looked in reality. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, this, and I guess this, instead of like Face Off where they just get a bunch of makeup or whatever.
Right.
The prize for this is actually like working at Henson Studios.
Creature Shop, yes.
At the Creature Shop?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing these days, but.
They're doing a lot of creatures.
Are they? For what?
I don't know. Something.
So, I mean, at least there's some kind of prize instead of, you're going to get to tour the makeup factory.
It's like Willy Wonka.
One special kid.
Yes.
We'll get a lifetime supply.
One special adult.
I mean, I'm hoping that maybe they'll bring in more of the work that not a lot of people know about, like the Farscape characters and all the sure. things they did for that. And
yes.
Oh, I guess they're doing some stuff for Lady Gaga. Look at that.
I just saw that. And Deadmau5.
They do Sid the Science Kid.
These aren't very impressive credits to say that they're still working, is it?
Well, no. I mean, Where the Wild Things Are is over. Hitchhiker's Guide.
All of those things are over.
Yeah, well, except for Sesame Street.
Well, yeah.
Most of that is done, yeah. So what the hell are they doing? Let's see.
Oh, I did not realize that they built the puppet for the Lending Tree commercials.
That's what they've been doing.
That's what they're working on. That's very lucrative, apparently. Very lucrative work.
They're working on Jesse on the Disney Channel? That's a live action.
It was probably a character costume or something.
No.
I mean, they've only got like, what, like 4, 8, 12, 14 people who work there now.
I mean, I know Sid the Science Kid was an extremely ambitious project because they actually did like real-time motion capture for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they're still making that show or not, because I could see how that would take up a bunch of their time, but
don't know.
I mean, everything else is kind of over. Oh, they made the puppets for Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Okay. The Muppets. I mean, do you think they just did the newest Muppet movie?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Disney doesn't go out and like hire another team and be like, hey, here you go.
Sometimes. I mean, there is another company that used to be Muppeteers who build the puppets now.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how you can keep something together for that long.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with as many companies that are closing
mm-hmm.
in Hollywood, it's amazing that they can stick around this long.
Yes.
And I guess it's the Henson name, but...
I'm sure that's a huge part of it.
I mean, I don't know how that would carry them without doing anything, though. I mean, now they have this TV show, but...
I don't know.
Because I watched an interesting documentary on... and I think it's on YouTube in its entirety. It's called Life After Pi. And it's the story of... Rhythm
Cake
and
Boss?
It's the story of Rhythm and Hues. Which is the company that did the effects for Life of Pi, went bankrupt and then won the Academy Award.
Yeah, that always helps, doesn't it?
And... they explained very matter-of-factly what happened to them. And the gist of it is, because of subsidies in other countries and overseas studios, they're having to downbid their work. So their contracts come in like this. You're doing 100 shots over 10 months, and you're getting paid $10 million for it. Every time, and especially for Life of Pi, everything started to get pushed back, whether it's a release date or the production schedule. Things weren't coming in on time in order to get the work done. Hollywood doesn't care. Whoever the studio was just says, you have 10 months to do this. If it goes over, you're not getting any more money.
Sure.
So they're paying, the way it broke down very simply for them was, if you've got... if you're paying $1 million per animator, or $1 million a month for all the animators, once you go into that time when you're not being paid, you're still having to pay out that $1 million a month to those animators so that they can make money. So that $1 million is coming out of the company. So if you're 4 months behind on your project, that's $4 million that these people aren't getting paid for and have to pay out themselves. Which is how, because before, the way that the media had spun it was, well, they're not good at keeping their finances, or they're not being paid by the studio, but they're being paid by the studio for their contract. What they're not being paid for is the amount of time that's going over from that studio. So as shitty as it is, all these companies are now having to close because Hollywood won't change that system. If you can't do those 10 shots or those 100 shots in 10 months, we'll find somebody else that can do it.
Sure.
So they're having to underbid, and then they're being run out of business because of it.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. It was very interesting. I think everybody should look it up on Facebook.
Life After Pi.
Life After Pi. And,
you know, that's not the Paula Deen story?
Pretty sure. And they had somebody walking around with a camera on the last day where they were having to give back their IDs and putting in their final paperwork for how much time they worked on.
Well, see, that's interesting because there's also a documentary. What was it called? There's a documentary about when Disney shut down the Florida studios.
Oh, really?
And it was very similar to that. And there was video of people, like, having to go buy their old desk.
Oh, you mean the animation studio?
Yes.
Okay. Here, I'm going to put Life After Pi on our Facebook page.
You are?
Yep.
Oh.
Because you say I never do anything, so...
Well, there you go. That's awesome. It's called Dream On, Silly Dreamer.
And is that on YouTube?
I don't know. It's on YMDB. Let me check. but it is very... I mean, it's really short. It's like barely more than a half hour.
Yeah, this is about 30 minutes, too.
And it was obvious that it was just a couple of people working there who were, videotaping... their last days. And one of the weird things was they had to get, if they wanted their desk, their animation desk, they could buy it, but it was like $649.72. Like, it was some bizarre price.
What's the name of this?
Dream On, Silly Dreamer.
Dream On.
All I see is that the teaser is available on YouTube.
Huh, okay. Why wouldn't you put that shit on YouTube? Nobody else is going to watch it. And it was 7 years ago, and it's only got 7,000 views. That's so sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's only 7 years ago that they got rid of that?
No, I think it's more, but it's... that's when somebody put it on...
on YouTube?
On YouTube.
On the tube?
On the tube.
Oh. Interesting. Oh, look, it's on our page. That's awesome.
What's that?
Life After Pi.
I told you I was putting it on there.
Wow, and you were so quick.
I see.
Wow, that was good.
If you want to watch, let's see. You can buy it on iTunes. You can buy Dream On, Silly Dreamer for $1.99.
I would recommend it for $1.99. Go ahead and do it.
It was released in 2005. If you look up Dream On, Silly Dreamer, it actually dreamonsillydreamer.com, and you can either buy it on DVD, which apparently you can buy one new for $695.65. or you can buy six used from $45.92. Which I don't quite understand. Yeah, there's three on here for brand new, and it's $695.65, $698.96, or $710.
And you're talking about the desk and not the video, right?
Oh, for a DVD.
Are you serious?
Yep. A brand new in factory shrink wrap from Amazon.
Wow.
Or you can spend $1.99.
And download it.
And download it.
Because I'll be honest with you, it's not something that you're going to want to watch over and over again. So just spend $1.99.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting. I won't say it's like a cinematic work of art or anything, but it is very interesting.
Yeah. This webpage hasn't been updated in a really long time.
What, Dream On, Silly Dreamer?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably because there were a lot of work when you're bussing tables at Perkins.
Nice. The last thing on the news page was June 10th of 2006.
That's probably when the interest in them died out.
Well, there you go. There's something for people to watch this week.
Yes, there you go.
Yes. Sadly, not all fairy tales have a happy ending.
They don't. But you know what did?
What?
The finale of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. They knew it was a limited series. They wrapped the whole damn thing up in a nice bow. And it was what a finale should frickin' be.
So they actually did it right.
They did it right. They did it right. And, you know, it was the same people who do Once Upon a Time, which is still alive and kicking. And at the end, Jafar tries to change the rules of magic, and of course he's defeated, and he ends up turning into a genie himself, which, you know, is no big spoiler, because if you saw the movie Aladdin, then you realize that's what was going to happen. But then the very end of it is they go back to England with Alice's family, and Alice is marrying the genie, who's no longer a genie because he's been freed. And his family's there, and her family's there, and the White Rabbit's there, and the Red Queen and Will Scarlet are there, and it was like, oh, it was well done. I liked it. I thought it was a good ending.
I wonder why. Like, I wonder if that was planned from the start, or if they were like.
Well, it was. It was supposed. Originally, the plan was it was going to air when the other show was on hiatus.
Oh, okay.
So it was only a limited run. They knew that it was going to that there was a potential to go on further. But it wasn't really planned that. It was just kind of like, this is, we're going to try out something different in a new world and blah, blah, blah. And I think that they ended it quite well. That's what I have to say.
As opposed to the other colossal failure of a finale, which was How I Met Your Mother?
Sure.
I really... I don't even know where to start.
You didn't like the fact that the mother was dead the whole time? The whole seven years of the series or whatever?
That was my original prediction, was that he was telling the story of how they met because I was a little off that they had never met her before. Like, she had died during childbirth, kids were too young, he raised them on his own, whatever. But no, this was a story about how he met her, all so that he could ask permission to date Robin, because that's his one true love. And I was like, really? That's the fucking show? That's what you base this all on?
Yeah.
Very, very disappointing. It's...
But, you know, the other thing, I don't know. Was it a matter of that the show lasted so long that you were able to figure that out? Or was it just that transparent from the beginning?
Oh, it's that transparent.
Okay.
It truly is. And it's one of those things where everybody's like, well, you know, they were just trying to give fans what they wanted. And it was like, no, fans wanted to see, like, how Ted met his wife. And
right.
I thought it was really odd that they chose to go with the original actor in the future instead of, what's his name? The guy from Full House. Fuck.
John Stamos?
No.
The guy from Full House.
Yeah. Who? Oh, God. What's his name? Bob Saget. Jesus. Because Bob Saget,
because he's telling the story.
Does all the voiceover for the future.
Right.
So as soon as you get to where everything links up, oh, it's the old guy. It's the other guy in old makeup telling the story to the kids that they taped 6 years ago. And you're like, doesn't sound anything like him. Doesn't, you know, whatever. Just put fucking Bob Saget in there as the older version of the character.
So he becomes Bob Saget?
I guess. At least he gets his voice. But not in the last episode. In the last episode, it's him talking to his kids in his regular voice. Right. And it's like, what the fuck? It's going up there with disappointing fucking endings, just like Lost all the other ones.
Yeah, I thought it was there was you had this kind of cool concept, but then to throw it out the window by saying that he was in love with Robin the whole time,
yeah,
kind of discounts the whole concept of How I Met Your Mother, because Robin's not their mother.
Right.
So it's like How I Met Your Stepmother.
Well, and it's
how
this
I
whole thing.
Created your mother's memory.
I mean, and it's this whole thing where all of a sudden you're watching this and it's like, well, that's the story How I Met Your Mother. Well, yeah, you want to do that because you want to date Aunt Robin, and it's like, wait, what? That's the story?
Yeah.
You're like, no, that's, you know, I don't know. It was just completely bizarre and big disappointment.
I mean, I was really enjoying the fact that they were tying up all the loose ends.
Yes.
The yellow umbrella, and I took your class before, and it was the class he accidentally walked into, and all that stuff I thought was really cool, and then you just pissed on it.
Yes, and that, like, it's, you get 2 seconds of this is how we met on the train station thing, and like, you're going to see him go over to her and tap her on the shoulder, and they're going to have this brief exchange And then all of a sudden they're married, they have kids, they have all this stuff, and then she's sick in a hospital bed, and then she's gone. And you're like, that's five yeah, minutes of like the show.
How I Met and Killed Your Mother.
Well, maybe he poisoned the mother so that he could be with Robin.
And that's how, and he was able to, break up the marriage with Barney and all that.
Sure. That would have made for a better ending.
He's very devious.
I mean, I liked when you look back on shows kind of like this, like I liked the Scrubs ending where he's seeing what might be. Like, did you watch Scrubs at all?
I watched some of Scrubs. I wasn't a...
Did you watch the finale?
I don't know that I did.
It's his last day at the hospital or whatever, so he's walking through the hospital and there's images playing on the walls and he's kind of seeing himself get married and he's seeing kids and all this kind of stuff. And then he walks out and he goes, well, maybe that's the way it'll turn out. But we'll have to see. And then he gets in his car and he drives away. And it's like, So they answer a lot of questions and they do a lot of stuff, but it's still open to interpretation.
Sure.
And I like that because the story goes on, but this is just, you know, so now they're going to do How I Met Your Dad.
Why bother? I mean, at this point, you've kind of pissed off your audience.
Yes.
So why don't you just give it a rest?
I don't know. I just... It made me angry, I guess.
You know, I mean, they made it out to be this epic season, multiple season love story.
Yeah.
And then they threw that twist, which wasn't really a twist because everybody knows that's kind of what's going on. I mean, why didn't they show the, you know, I mean, I would have been happier if he had met this girl and everything, and that the ending of it was that they're getting married in the church, and Robin comes in and says, I object.
Right.
And then it cuts back to the kids on the couch, and it's like, and that's how I met your mother.
But they couldn't do that because they've already destroyed that storyline in the very first season, where he goes out with Robin for the first time and he goes, it's kind of something similar where they cut back to the future and he goes, and that's how I met your Aunt Robin. So they had already established in the first season that she's not the mother.
Yeah.
So
that was stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand why they can't get television finales right. Why is it so hard?
Well, I don't know. I mean, have they ever gotten it right? Aside from maybe MASH?
I was very satisfied with Fringe.
Were you? Okay.
I thought Fringe did pretty well. I keep hearing good things about Chuck, even though I'm not there yet.
Right. Yeah, I thought Chuck was well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are cases where they have, you know, it's Little House on the Prairie where they blow up the town.
Newhart was classic.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. I think there's definitely, it's definitely been done, but you know, 9 times out of 10 you get a shit story where people are kind of pissed that you spent all this time invested in this show and then they just like,
and then you screw them over.
You just dismantle everything you've done at the very end.
Sure. I would totally agree with that.
I mean, I know we always harp on it, but like Lost, for 6 seasons, they said, well, they're not dead. Don't worry about it. They're alive.
But then again, they were dead. You lied to us.
It's not purgatory. They are actually on the island. And then the last season was like, hey.
Oh, we lied to you. It really is purgatory. And they're all dead.
Yep.
Bastards.
Then they're going to go into the light and live happily ever after. You know, it's like Battlestar Galactica. I don't know if you ever watched that show. It's really well written.
You know, I didn't, and I'm kind of interested in getting into it.
Okay, then I won't spoil the ending.
Okay. they get to Earth and it's not really Earth.
It's just, it's not well done. And you have all this good science fiction leading up to it.
Right.
And you just screw the pooch in the last hour and you're like, oh, come on.
Was that due to lack of funding and they're just trying to wrap it up? Or do you think the show writers just screwed up?
I think it's a little of both. I think what happened was they were always on the verge of being canceled, even though they were the highest rated show on Sci-Fi because they were expensive.
Sure.
So they would do these, what they would call half seasons, where you would do 10 episodes in the fall and 10 episodes in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where Sci-Fi was like, we're not going to renew you. And they said, well, let us just at least wrap it up. Let us do the last half of the season, and we'll wrap the whole thing up and we'll be done. And they talked Sci-Fi into it. And so they had to rapidly tie it all up.
Right.
And how they get to the end and where they are when they get to the end, you're like, oh, come on, really? And it loses something. But I mean, up until that last hour of television, it's a phenomenal piece of storytelling.
Well, that kind of sucks then at the last minute, it just totally screws up.
Yes. So, like, if you're going to watch it, I would say watch it right up until that last hour and just assume that everything's okay.
Okay.
That's what I would say. Go with that.
I will keep that in mind.
It's like the machete order of Star Wars. Just cut out episode one. It's all right.
Right.
You can deal with it without it. You can deal... Because it gets to a logical place in Battlestar where you're like, okay, well, you could stop there. And then they go on, and then it just destroys it. So, yeah, don't watch the last hour.
Okay, I won't.
Well, there you go.
Wow. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
See, and I think Sci-Fi has a hard time with endings, too, because they're either canceled before that they can have a finale.
Yeah.
Or they have to wrap everything up in, like, a two-hour TV movie, and that doesn't work either.
Right.
Because you've given all this information out there, and then you're trying to wrap it all up. So you get things like Farscape, which was canceled during a critical part of their story and then did a TV movie, and the TV movie's not that great.
Right.
You have Firefly that wasn't even given a chance.
Yes.
You know, Almost Human's probably going to go out the door this season without really getting a chance to build an audience.
Without having a chance to build an audience, it's been on the air for years.
Almost Human?
Oh, no, Almost Human. I'm thinking Being Human.
No, yeah, the Carl Urban one.
Yes. Carl Urban?
Urban.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just... It's hard to get into Sci-Fi because you know that sooner or later they're just going to pull that. And
pull the plug on it and you're lost?
Yep.
It sucks.
It does.
Mm.
Really, really sucks.
Bummer.
Yep. You have anything else?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Go to the website or Facebook to go see our video from MegaCon. You can follow us on Twitter, @DanceMonkeyPod. Rate us on iTunes, all that good stuff. And let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week. Come on, nothing?
Nothing.
Oh.
I think if I keep doing it all the time, you're just going to expect it. So that when I do it, it's going to be worth it.